The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Monday morning, Dad. Well, do you know what? It's Nicola Duke is with me, of course, the Duchess of the Chart, the Queen of Crypto, the lady with the biggest crypto tat on her back you've ever seen in your life. It's been... Is it just the finishing touches now in the tattoo session you're having on your tattoo on your back?
Yeah, just last minute colouring. Yeah, colouring in.
It's very clever because it's got. You did show me a picture of it. It's very clever. It's Nicola sitting on a throne, but she's almost sitting sideways with her back twisted, and on her back on the tattoo is the back tattoo she's having done on her back, which is very clever. And then on that tattoo, within that tattoo, it's like looking in a mirror against a mirror. You see millions of images against smaller
and smaller. An infinity tattoo.
Yeah, it's an infinity tattoo, like Bitcoin. And it's symbolic, isn't it, Nick? As the blockchain, because you think it'll go on forever. It's very symbolic. I like that a lot.
Yes.
Okay, but do you know what? It's depressing. Waking up on a Monday morning, what's bad is, first of all, it's dark, it's grey, it's raining, and then I like 7 a.m. because 7 a.m. is when all the news comes out about listed companies via London Stock Exchange, via their regulatory news service, RNS, and nothing happened today. I think one came through, and I thought, what's going on? I thought, that's got to be an error, because I've never known it to have one RNS come out of a Monday morning. And I thought, somewhere, is an IT guy going nuts trying to sort this out, really frantically trying to find out what's going on here. Because but they did come out eventually, but I just found it really depressing this morning. No news, really dark, very wet, and the wife is so annoyed. She's gone and booked a holiday for 7 days away. So there we are.
Where are they going? Portugal?
No, the Canary Islands. Heard it in the kids.
Wow.
And without me. That's it. I can't handle it any longer. And I, do you know what? That is one of the reasons why I want to live. It's nothing to do with Brexit or anything. I just want to leave because of the weather. It's getting ridiculous, this country, isn't it?
It is. But I would never go on holiday in the school holidays because just the prices and the kids.
It is crazy. I don't know how this is. I discussed it previously with people on the radio. But it's nuts. And I don't know how they're going to sort the situation because it's ridiculous. Literally, one day before the school holidays, you can get a decent holiday price. Then, one day into the holidays, they'll hike it up by $1,000 or something. And they think, what? It's nuts, you know? So, and I know they're fining people for taking kids out of schools. But I remember my holidays really fondly as a kid. I remember them. With my parents, and I see that as a some kind of educational sort of environment. I mean, spending time with a family in a joyous situation is something to be valued in life, I think. And I know you're penalised for it because schools will penalise you for it, but I just think rather than sitting in school, last week a term generally is nonsense for kids anyway, but rather than sitting in school doing sums or whatever or playing games, spending time with your family in a really happy environment is quite nice, I think, you know.
Well, I don't ever remember my parents taking me out of school. Your kids are lucky.
No, I don't mean that. I mean school holidays.
I
remember. I mean family holiday. Do you ever look? Do you remember some of your family holidays? I do, quite fondly. And
yeah,
I think now you're penalised because a lot of families can't afford to do it. You know, and I think that's awful, really, that people can't do. Almost we're penalising the system now, where we have these holidays where everyone tries to go at the same time. So market economics,
In some countries, they stagger the school holidays so that parents can do that. And then it makes it easier at work, because then at work, in companies, everybody wants holidays at the same time as well, surely.
Yeah. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of solution to it. Anyway, first of all, you always cover a bit of Bitcoin at the moment. You did say before we came on, it's taken a turn for the worse at the moment. It started off sort of positive, didn't it? And then it's gone down. Is that right?
It's having a little bit of a dip this morning, yes. You do my analysis. I think everything's looking good. Here we are riding the moving averages higher, happy days. And then, I look away for 5 minutes and kaboomy. But, it's stabilised over the weekend. And now we're having a bit of a setback. So we'll see how far we come back and if we can carry on higher or not. Okay. I think that we are, I'm definitely seeing Ethereum, Bitcoin outperform. I'm seeing Ethereum outperform Bitcoin. And that's quite a good indicator usually for when altcoins are going to outperform Bitcoin as well. So although Bitcoin has stabilized, it's not going down anymore, it's going sideways. What that usually means is it's good time for some of the other coins. So
I can hear a cuckoo in the background. It's almost like listen, this is not symbolic at all in any way. But as you were talking about cryptocurrencies there and sounding quite bullish, there's a little bird behind you going cuckoo.
The dove, I know.
As if saying she's crazy. No, but that was no. Listen, everyone's crazy.
I am, but you know, we had really key support that we tested on Friday. It wasn't looking very good, and we've managed to bounce off it again. So let's see if we can stabilise and keep going higher from here.
Yeah, it's still there, isn't it? Wherever you talk now, that bird is almost chipping in. It's heckling you. Do you know what? I think I've given you the wrong ticker, but we could do that. I meant Cora, not Coro. But there is Coro. It's admission today, first day of trading. But okay, have you got each? Which one have we got? Have you C-O-R-O?
I've got Coro up, which is falling out. Like, there's good support for Coro at 2.
Yeah,
you did tell me that one. If we look at Cora, however, we've got really good support right underneath where we are right now in Cora, and that's the bunched up daily moving averages. So they're both at 13.6. So we've had a really impulsive rally from the March 23 low, and what I'm looking for is a turn higher from here and another leg higher to retest the top of the range around 18.519.
Okay, yeah. So Cora Energy, they used to be Saffron Energy. They've just renamed, and they've got a different structure to it. Coro, this is I'm talking about. But Cora is gold. But they're both sort of relevant anyway. They're both sort of relevant stocks, small cap stocks that are quite well followed. But I messed up there. It's my fault entirely.
Quite all right. So sitting on daily moving averages in Cora Gold, watch that we don't close and make a new low below 13.5, and we otherwise, if we don't, then we could see a decent rally from here.
Lovely. All right. Next one is Defenx. Now, not over the stocks so much. I know they do sort of mobile sort of security. I've spoken them before, but they had a proposed offer and subscription, which was, I think, discounted because it fell off the cliff last week. And then they bounced back like 60% today. So DFX, not DFS, the sofa company, DFX. What do you reckon, Nick?
DFX, yeah, really good bounce today. I want to see it close above 19.6. I want to see it close above the daily 50 moving average, and I want to see it close above the first 236 fib and these lows. For now, you know, we've had a really good spike, and I want to see some follow through. Now, we might not see that the first day, but I think that if we can, you know, in the following days continue and see some follow through, a close above 19.6 should turn this stock around. Then we've got some trend line resistance, but I really do think that we can go to 60.
Oh, wow. Okay. What were we at the moment?
If
60.
Yeah. 60. Yeah,
oh,
6-0.
Okay. Wow, that's...
When you look at how far this has fallen, a bullish reverse, we have not traded above the 50-day moving average since August of last year, and we were at 169. So relative to that, then 60 isn't that big of a deal. The 200-day moving average is at 80. I think we'll meet somewhere in the middle around 16.
Okay, all right. Listen, the next one is Parkmead Group. I don't know much about this company. I mean, it's a request on Twitter, PMG. So I'll just leave the chart to you, Nicola.
PMG, yeah. This one's done it. This one's put in a bullish reversal, got above the 200-day moving average, and now it's had a pullback. It's sitting at exactly 50% of the rally. So 39.50 is 50% of the rally. If we can turn here and head higher, then we should see bullish continuation. I'm just looking at it. You know, we're sideways at this level at the moment, and the 200-day moving average is a little bit lower at 38. So between 38 and 39.5, really good support for continuation higher. I like it. The RSI hasn't quite bottomed yet, though, and so you watch for it to reach around 30 or lower and turn up again, and that will be your buy signal. So expect some consolidation sideways around the support and then a turn higher.
Do you know what I like about this chart, right? I have, these are the moving averages I have on my chart. 20, 50, 125 and 200. I've always liked the 125. It's always, if you look at some of this more. But what's happening right now is the 125 is going up. All the moving averages, apart from the 200-day moving average, which is curving around, are going upwards now. And the 125 is kissing the 200-day on the upside.
So yeah, it's all set.
Yeah, it's all going up. They're all coming around nicely. I quite like that. And
when you see them going up like that, what you look for is a pullback to those moving averages and then for it to carry on. So it might not, we do need to see it turn, but it's sort of really, it's looking set to do it, so hopefully it can.
Well, I like moving averages. I mean, people not that familiar with technical analysis will know that a moving average is basically the price smoothed over that number of days. So it's a 200 days, it's smooth, that line is created over that last 200 days. And so it is a trend, isn't it? So basically, wherever they're going, if they're going down, the trend is down. The last 200, if they start curving around and going up, that's the trend. So, and like I said, and trends, and you teach a trend following system, don't you? And it's very powerful.
I do. And it is powerful because, you know, the market can make really sharp moves in an uptrend or, you know, in the opposite direction to the major trend. And it's very easy short term to lose sight of what the bigger trend is. Yeah. And so I find moving averages really helpful guides for that. They're not very good, you know, they're not predictive. They won't, but they're really good for keeping you in the trend. And so looking for pullbacks to them to keep you in line with the bigger trend, I think, is a great strategy. And potentially we can see this setting up here.
Yeah, do you know what? This is why I think we should do it right now. This is why it's always good to look at shorter time frame moving averages. But, you know, always keep an eye on the long ones, so they're more important as a trend. Because let's look at BT a second. This is why I've said it a couple of times, I'm not convinced about BT until it goes over the 200-day moving average. Because a couple of times it's failed. And in fact, it's quite important. It's failed at the 125 moving average, which I use quite a bit. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll be more convinced when it gets above 1.2. Because last time it rallied, it didn't get above the 125. And that's now at 251. And the 200-day moving average is 268. But so now it's above the 50-day. It's broken the 20-day. It's gone above the 50-day moving average. It needs to get above that 125 now for me, and then above 200. But it's looking quite nice at the moment. But again, I'm not going to be convinced, because if you look previously, it hasn't broken the 200-day moving average.
No, I completely agree. And we're in this declining wedge pattern. So all the way from the highs that in 2015, we've been in this declining wedge pattern, and we really need to pop out of it. And the top rail of it now, of where we need to break out, is also the 200-day moving average. No, I completely agree. It's very speculative and counter trend where we are looking at this 235 level. However, I don't think there's anything wrong. Sometimes, you know, this would be a good sign to exit your shorts if you were short and you'd been selling it all the way down. And potentially, you know, if you wanted to take a small long position, I would do that sometimes and then add to it when I get the reversal I'm looking for, just so I manage my risk that way.
Yeah, well, do you know what's a good thing here? If you look at the share price, and I'm talking about BT, but I'm just going to trends and using moving averages. If you look at the share price since 2016, since it broke down below the 200-day moving average, right, it is broken, and you can count how many times it's broken the 50-day moving average. But once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. How many times about 125? 1, 2, 2. How many times about 200? None. You know, so you said the longer the trend, you know, so essentially, if it breaks the next, for me, the next sort of milestone will be that 125, which is done before on this downtrend, but it didn't go above the 200-day moving average, which, as you said before, Nick, is the granddaddy of the moving averages, you know?
It is. It really is the granddaddy.
So anyway, so the next one we're looking at is Petro... It's not... Sorry, I said the wrong thing. It's not Petromatad. I did that. It's Petromatad, M-A-T-D. What do you reckon on M-A-T-D?
Petromatad is holding up really well. I'm still seeing it, bigger picture, as an inverted head and shoulders pattern, which started in June of 2017. The neckline is at 1326. If we see a daily close above 1326, I think it's a buy signal. And our target is 2210. That's the Fib target.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. And the last one today is Sound Energy, S-O-U. What do you reckon on the chart, Nicola?
So Sound Energy had the lovely rally in 2016, and then 2017 was marked by an ABC correction pullback. Now, since then, we've been trying to find a base in sound energy, and we're reverberating in between the 618 fib and the 382 fib levels. That's from the low that we made in 2012 to the high that we made in 2016. And this is kind of a consolidation zone. It's called the golden ratio zone. It's where the market tries to find support and rally. So I'm looking for 41, you know, we're at 43.70 today, and we're pushing the lows. If we do break lower, I'm looking for 41 to hold as really good support, and I'm looking for a rally to 64 if we can turn higher from 41. If we break down below 41, then the next Fibonacci support, unfortunately, is a bit lower, and that's at 24.60. So 41, very important support. If you're holding on and hoping, and I would not want to see it below 41 again. But otherwise, I'm looking higher to 64, and you can see his support becomes resistance, resistance becomes support. In 2016 and 2017, that 64 level was really important support. 5 times it was tested.
Mm-hmm. Yes, marvellous stuff. Okay, SOU, and they've just announced they divested their Italian investments today. So there we go. Marvellous, Nicola. And by the way, if you want to see the video and you listen on the podcast, because we do talk a lot about stuff that's very visual, of course, charts, then it's worth looking at the video. And you can see that at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. That was good. That was upbeat, wasn't it?
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. It's still Monday.
I think we've peaked already for the week.
Oh, no. If the weather gets better, we'll be all right.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.